This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Welcome back to episode number 12 of Until the Whistle podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Myers. Happy to be back. I took last week off, wanted to give myself an opportunity to kind of recharge a little bit. It's pretty crazy that the season has flown by the way that it has. And before you know it, we're going to be here into bowl season. But I took last week off with it being Thanksgiving. I have a brother that's 5 years younger than me and lives in the Dallas area. He actually lives in a little town right outside of Rockwall called Royce City. And I went up there, spent some time with him, my sister-in-law, her sister came up, and then my two nieces. One is 9 and the other one's 1. So had a really good time with them. Lots to be thankful for. Certainly, really just blessed to, do things like this and, be able to just kind of sit back and reflect on how the year has been as it's winding down. I'm really fortunate. My company gives us the full week off for Thanksgiving. So I went up there on Sunday, went to the Iowa State game on Saturday with a cousin. With my cousin, and we had a really good experience there. And I'll talk a little bit about the atmosphere, but probably won't spend too much time talking about that game or even Kansas for that matter, because for all intents and purposes, they're kind of far in the rear view and don't really matter this week with us playing OU again in the Big 12 championship. How about that, right? The Texas Longhorns playing in the Big 12 championship game. Not something that I think I expected, but we'll dive into that as well. But yeah, I had a chance to go up there, spend some time with my family, and it was just cool kicking back. I did a whole lot of nothing. I drank a lot of beer. Not drinking anything too fancy tonight. Tonight just sipping on my go-to, the Four Roses single barrel. That's my sipper. That I like to turn to whenever I'm, just wanting to have a drink here or there, but drank a lot of beer. I'm not a big beer drinker, but my best friend, like I said on a previous podcast, Jonathan Brown, using them as my sponsors. So For the Culture Brewing Company out of Houston, Texas, be on the lookout for them and some of their offerings. But I'm not a big beer drinker, but he gets me to drink stuff from time to time. And then my brother likes to drink beer, brother and my dad. They both like to drink beer. So, I'll drink stuff when they have it, but I've never just been one too big on buying them. I think the one that I do like probably the most, or there's two that I like the most. One is, Revolver's Blood and Honey. I don't know why, I really like the taste of that beer. And then the other is one called La Fin du Monde. It has a pretty high alcohol content. And so I like it for that. And they sell in these pretty big bottles at Costco. So I've always enjoyed those two, but I just sat around, drank some beer, watched a lot of sports, a lot of football, had a chance to catch the basketball team play before, play UNC the night before, playing against, before the football team took on Kansas. So that was good. And just all in all, a good time away. I think, we all need to do a little recharge from time to time, and it's good to do it with family. And it's funny, just getting to sit up and watch my 1-year-old niece, man. Like, I swear she's got it made. That little chick, she's as cute as can be. But she's certainly at that age where she knows how to play that up. We call her Fussbox because, man, does she cry. Like, if you're, doing anything that she doesn't want you to be doing, she cries about it. And she wails in a way that makes you feel like she's in real, real pain, but no tears are coming out. And then sometimes she works herself up into such a tizzy. It's no tears, but, or there are some actual tears, but the crazy thing about it is like, she's really just looking for you to like pick her up and carry her around. She's really nosy. So she likes to look at everything. And if she can't see her mom, she pretty much loses it. And she's at that stage now where she's walking. So, she walks around, but, I think she knows who her Uncle Marcus is because, you know, I'll get to play with her from time to time. And she does this thing where she likes to go down to the end of their long hallway and then run to me and jump into my arms. But she like doesn't want it to stop. Like she just keeps on doing it. She doesn't really get tired. So it's pretty crazy, but it's cool seeing her. It's cool seeing my 9-year-old niece, Madison, we call her Maddie. It's pretty cool to get to see her interact with my younger niece. She's very territorial. She'll let you know in a heartbeat that that's her sister. McKinley, the 1-year-old, she can, you know, like I said, she'll be wailing and we'll just stick Madison on her and be like, Maddie, you know, get your sister. And she'll pick her up and kind of rock her a little bit. And McKinley will put her head on her shoulder and she'll just lay it down. So it was neat getting to be around them. And then on Friday and Saturday, Madison had a soccer tournament. I don't know about all you guys. I've not been one to appreciate the sport of soccer maybe as much as I should. It's just never one that I really got into as a kid a whole lot. I played for like a season, but I was already bigger than everybody. I was still kind of uncoordinated when I was younger. And so I think I ended up just kind of like running around and tripping and bumping into people a whole lot. And I would get like yellow and red cards or warnings or whatever. And so I think I played for like a season. And then my parents were just kind of like, all right, he's probably not going to take to this. So those games, though, man, like they're far out. So the tournament was in Plano. So we had to drive out there for games. Friday morning, I just couldn't bring myself to get up. I have a tough time getting up when I'm off from work. I like to sleep in. And so her first game was at like 9:45. And I'm just like, who does this on Black Friday? Like, at 9:45, the day after Thanksgiving, there's a game. So I ended up just staying home while they went to the game. And then I watched the Kansas game from my brother's place, tried not to pull the little bit of hair I have out, because of course we always have to make things more interesting than they should be. And then they came back, and then I went to her soccer game the next day. So all in all, I had a really good trip. Caught traffic from hell, you know, trying to come back last Sunday, but you know, it's been a good deal. And you know, here we are now, coming up on the eve of it. I'm recording this Thursday night, so most of you will hear this on Friday, be the eve of the Big 12 championship game. And, you know, heading into the game, some of the team received a number of accolades, and total ended up being 18 different Longhorns, got some form of all Big 12 recognition. And it was announced by the league office and voted on by the head coaches of the conference. And, so 4 different Longhorns received first team, honors, 3 players were second team, and then 11 more got honorable mentions. So really probably just focus on the first and second teams. They were Andrew Beck, Chris Boyd, Charles Amenahue, and Caden Stearns. And then, to be even more specific there, Andrew Beck ended up getting first team fullback, which was an interesting, I think that was what they gave him, which was an interesting role to me that they would give him that. But I guess he does play that a good bit in our scheme. And there's probably not a ton around the Big 12, to be honest, but they move him around kind of that H-back fullback position. Chris Boyd ended up getting first team all Big 12 defensive back. Charles Amenahue earned first team honors, as well as defensive lineman of the year. And then he even earned some votes as honorable mention for a defensive player of the year. And then true freshman Caden Stearns earned first team defensive back, as well as defensive freshman of the year honor. So pretty cool that two of you know, the first team honorees in the defensive backfield are Longhorns. And, you know, just a step in the right direction for the program. The second team was Zach Shackelford, Cameron Dicker, and Gary Johnson. And then a number of guys were listed as honorable mention. I think the most interesting of those would probably have to be Lil Jordan, Humphrey, LJ. And that's probably just because you could make an argument for him against some of the other guys that were, you know, received first or second team honors. But I think statistically, when it all shook out, the guys that they chose ahead of him had slightly better years. But, you know, I would be hard pressed to say, if you ask Big 12 coaches around the league, you know, who do they worry most about, that Lil Jordan wouldn't be one of the first people in that conversation. So, you know, all in all, I think it's really impressive that, you know, not only have the defensive freshman of the year, but also the defensive lineman of the year and the representation on the teams that we had. So really just kind of shine through in the play of the players on the team. Another, you know, step in the right direction of getting the recognition that everyone would, you know, like the team to have. And so it's a good trend to kind of get back to. You know, here lately, we haven't seen as many guys on the all Big 12 teams as in the past. So that was good to see. I guess I'll talk a little bit briefly about the Iowa State game, more so the atmosphere than anything. I thought that people did a really good job of coming out to support the team in the final home game. The atmosphere that Chris Del Conte has created there is one that is extremely energetic, full of life. There was a moment that I think a lot of people have talked about, and I'm not sure if they showed it on camera, but Journey's Don't Stop Believing was played. And I think they play it every game, but for some reason, somewhere, people, you know, decided to kind of take out their cameras, and with it being a night game, took out their phones rather, turned on the flashlight. And so you just saw like a sea of lights just kind of swaying back and forth as the song played. So really, really cool moment for the stadium, really authentic. Did a great job of getting behind the seniors and you know, sending them out right. So I was happy to see that, happy to see the way that the team played and the defense played. And that's the kind of defensive effort, honestly, that they'll need against Oklahoma because, you know, kind of what we put on tape, I think, against Kansas was a bit concerning for me at times. But, you know, all in all, was a great performance. Did a good job to, you know, hold one of the better defenses, or to take advantage of one of the better defenses in the Big 12, rather. Moved the ball well for the most part and pretty much played a complete game with, you know, a little bit of a scare there towards the end. It's kind of weird that these teams have, excuse me, these games in a lot of instances have started out with Texas jumping out to pretty good leads and then having to, you know, scrap a little bit towards the end to make sure that they pull it out. But ultimately they did, and then went on to take on Kansas. You know, one of those kind of difficult situations where you had David Beatty, you know, knowing that he was already, you know, being fired, knowing that Les Miles was already coming in to be the new head coach there. It was their senior day. They had, you know, a good amount of success playing against Oklahoma in terms of putting up a number of points previously in the year. And so, you know, I think they just kind of came out hungry and wanting to make it a game. And so that very first drive, it looked like Texas was going to kind of run away with it. But then from there, I think Kansas settled in, surprisingly played some really good defense, and kind of has me wondering if they have shown some kind of blueprint for slowing up the Longhorns. Not sure to whether you attribute it to the, you know, the way that they were able to bracket the way they were able to bracket LJ and then play, you know, for the most part, man coverage on Colin and the other receivers, or if it's just kind of a testament to how good their defense is. And that kind of sounds odd to say. Maybe not how good their defense is, but rather how good their secondary is. And when I say good, I guess good is relative. But in terms of the Big 12, Kansas's secondary is the number one intercepting team in the conference. They have 16 interceptions on the year, and picked up two against Texas. And you know, it was kind of an interesting thing to see Sam throw those interceptions because they were just really bad interceptions. They also came right on the heels of, you know, the commentators talking about how bad they are, or you know, how great that, sorry, kind of got distracted there for a second. This Cowboys game is on and they're actually beating the Saints 13-0. So that's kind of alarming to me, but at any rate, what was I even talking about? Good grief. Kansas. They picked off Sam twice. Looked like he was just a little uncomfortable, a little rusty, but both of them were, you know, instances where it looked like he almost threw him right to the guy. It wasn't a situation where he was, you know, throwing it and, you know, was just like trying to fit balls in a tight window or something. It wasn't something that was ricocheted. It looked like each time it just went straight to the defender. And so, you know, again, not sure if that was a product of what Kansas decided to do to stop LJ or what, but they had some success there. And then, you know, there were some hairy moments there at the end with the onside kicks and, you know, just trying to do what they could to, you know, stay out in front. But ultimately, you know, all that mattered was getting the win. And that was what was most important. That was what carried the day. Looks like we came out of the game without as many injuries. Were able to survive the Gary Johnson situation. And I don't know why in my head, I have to, I guess I can pause it real quick and look this up. Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. It was funny. I don't know why he was suspended. I have zero inside information. But the first thing that I thought of was that since he went to Dodge City Community College, which is in Kansas, that maybe like he had some girls or something in his room or some friends or something in his room the night before the game. I'm not really sure when the suspension was announced. For some reason, I don't remember seeing it until right before the game started. So I just was under the impression that he did something the night before, since he was kind of back in the state where he played his community college ball and, you know, violated some kind of team rule. But it looks like he'll be back for the OU game and he'll be available. So, you know, ultimately, that's all you can really count on. Believe everybody for the most part is coming back pretty healthy. Think Brandon Jones should play, if I'm not mistaken, that Sam actually had a full week of practice, which was another thing that I thought maybe contributed to, you know, some of his, you know, maybe less than stellar play against Kansas was that he just didn't take full team reps that week. They were trying to rest him, that kind of thing. And so it'll be really important to have all hands on deck against this OU team that comes in hot, comes in, you know, reeling off a number of wins with a really high powered offense, of course, and Kyler Murray. And I'll be honest, I was rooting for West Virginia because I kind of figured, OK, we already beat OU. We lost to West Virginia by one. Would be good to get, you know, some revenge against them and then, you know, have the opportunity to. You know, make some noise in that regard by beating West Virginia for the Big 12 championship and would have, you know, avenged one of the losses on the season. But OU it is, right? So that's where all the attention turns to. That's where the focus turns to. And so there'll be, you know, a number of things that'll be key in the game. Of course, it, you know, you have OU, a lot of intangibles on both sides. OU's playing for what they would deem, you know, hope to be a college football playoff berth and would further cement them into the college football upper echelon if they could get back in there and having been there last year. And then with Texas, you know, just trying to kind of reestablish itself as a power, you know, put to bed some of the, you know, the funny remarks of the Texas is back and that kind of thing. But, you know, I think what will be key on Texas's side of the ball is that Sam is really going to have to, you know, play up to the level that we saw him play for the latter part of the season. You know, regardless of what Todd Orlando throws at them on Saturday, it would be foolish not to expect Oklahoma to get their yards. Foolish to expect Kyler Murray to not make some plays. Foolish to expect Marquise Brown not to make some plays. And so a lot is going to, you know, be hinged upon whether or not Texas can match, you know, some of those big plays that will occur. There was a lot of plays there for the taking against Oklahoma and their defense. And while their defensive coordinator at the time did get fired, the other Stoops brother was, you know, eventually fired after the Texas loss that OU suffered. Ruff McNeil is there, and he's really trying to, you know, get these guys turned around. They all kind of talk about being close, you know, to getting it turned around. But still, the defense, from what I've seen in the latter part of the year, has still been pretty abysmal. So there's a lot of points there for the taking. I would think that Texas would try to establish some long, methodical drives. Really did a good job at the point of attack last time that they faced Oklahoma in moving people off of the ball, creating, you know, some separation at the line of scrimmage and giving the Texas running backs room to run. And I think that would be crucial. It'd be really nice to see, you know, Keontae Ingram and Trey Watson both have big games. Trey Watson played really, really well against Kansas, and kind of saw him take more of the Keontae Ingram type role, where he had, you know, a really good yards per carry average. And Ingram's is the one that suffered a little bit, but still I think Ingram is the most dynamic of the two backs. They both are really good in the receiving game. And so, you know, I think a lot of people were calling for, you know, the wheel route to be run in the first game, and it was run to perfection and got Trey Watson the touchdown. I would imagine that that's going to be there for the taking again, with all of the attention that'll have to be paid to LJ and to Colin, and even to Devin Duvernay, who's really turning into a quality possession receiver. His body type even is beginning to more and more remind me of Quan Cosby. And so he kind of has a lot of Quan to him, and that he comes up with, you know, some big catches. You know, isn't the tallest guy, but is certainly very solid, very stout, and able to, you know, be someone that Sam can rely on. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the offensive plan of attack is. Interesting to see if they have any new wrinkles. And I think it's pretty cool. You know, there's been a lot of stuff kind of going on in the media about, you know, Sam and Kyler, and their interaction after the last game, Kyler, you know, kind of laughing off the question he was asked by a reporter of whether or not he respects Sam's game. I think that's just a testament to who Kyler is. You know, I think anybody that kind of followed his high school career, he's always been, you know, someone that is brash, someone that's, quite honestly, maybe not all that likable as a person, but a phenomenal football player. And so, you know, I think he just showed more of his character or lack of it. And it's tough to, you know, really comment like that. These are still kind of kids at the end of the day, very young. I know I did some stupid stuff then, but you would think that someone, you know, in his position with, you know, the national spotlight that he has would take the high road, you know, would be able to, in the face of defeat, you know, congratulate the opposing quarterback, or and not even be all buddy buddy, right? Like, it's a rivalry. So I understand that the teams don't like one another, but you got the guy standing there right there in your face, and he's being, you know, respectful and just trying to, you know, tell you good game. You know, he could have handled that differently, I think. And hopefully he matures and that ends up being something that he learns from. But, you know, if not, whatever, like, at the end of the day, I mean, earmuffs, but fuck him, right? He's a Sooner. He's kind of shown himself to be who he is. And he is someone that, you know, I think the guys are certainly going to be hunting for on Saturday, looking to kind of get him off his spot. He did show in that first game that if you can get to him, if you can rattle him, if you can, you know, force him into some mistakes, that he'll make them. And so while he's been a phenomenal quarterback, he certainly hasn't been you know, bulletproof. And so there's opportunities there for the defense to make some hay. And then, you know, what else you've heard about this, you know, the hook'em sign, the upside down horn being a penalty. I'll be honest with you. That's one of the more disrespectful signs for me. And I know it's all, you know, fun and games and it's college football. You're not supposed to take it that serious. But as a former player, like, I always just found it to be supremely disrespectful. Always found it to be annoying as hell that, you know, a school can't just use their own symbol. They have to take ours and invert it. And even see them doing it when we're not playing them. So, I mean, sometimes they say like imitation is the best form of flattery or whatever, but I've always just kind of been of the camp of like, get your own damn symbol, get your own damn hand sign, you know, stay away from ours. So I kind of like that it's being called. Hope that, you know, nothing crazy happens and like, you know, we score a touchdown or something and just put the hook 'em up and that gets flagged for a penalty. But, you know, I kind of get what they're trying to do. It'll be, you know, just more to add to the rivalry. And then finally, in one of the more interesting stories, having David Beatty come down and help Coach Herman in his preparation. I mean, quite honestly, he doesn't have anything else to do, so I don't see why not. And sounds like the two have been friends for a while. There's nothing illegal about it. So I think it'll be good. I think it'll be interesting in that, you know, Kansas had some success offensively against Oklahoma. Kansas had some success bottling up Lil Jordan and, you know, getting Texas into a one score ball game. So, you know, someone like Beatty is certainly a good mind to have in your corner. Certainly a good person to, you know, kind of pick their brain and see, you know, what he spots in a way of, you know, ways that Texas could have some success against Oklahoma. And all of it just adds to the pageantry of it. All of it just adds to the rivalry of it. I've told y'all before, I got a lot of friends that are Sooners. I don't really know what that says about me. I don't know what that says about them. I like to think that I make their lives better than they made mine. And I've been enjoying being able to gloat against them. But I'll be honest, if I don't kind of have this ominous feeling about the game, I think if you force me to bet on it, I would probably take OU. I think that's where the smart money goes. But then again, you just can't really bet against Tom Herman. I mean, as an underdog, he's been phenomenal. And so it's going to be really impressive to see what, you know, team shows up on Saturday. And then defensively, you know, I think Texas is really going to have, of course, its hands full. They have, you know, a really explosive offense. I mean, we've seen them once before and saw how quickly they could, you know, climb back into the game by, you know, scoring bunches of points in a short amount of time. So it's going to be really important for the Texas defensive backs to try and keep everything in front of them. They have big play receivers in Hollywood Brown and CeeDee Lamb and even, you know, their running back in I think his name's Kennedy Brooks or something like that. All guys that can take it to the house, you know, if you give them a crease. So it's going to be really important to keep everybody in front, you know, keep from giving up the, you know, 50, 60 yard touchdowns, because before you know it, they could get up on you quick. So, you know, you could easily see a scenario where somehow OU could get up 14-0 in this game. But, you know, really hoping that that's not the case. You know, I think the Texas players on some level want to be able to show that, you know, the first game wasn't a fluke. And for all intents and purposes, really, you know, had done a good job of kicking OU's ass up and down the field. So I think they have a level of confidence coming into the game that should be able to carry them a good bit. And then, of course, trying to force turnovers will be another really key thing. So, you know, be something that I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing. I'm going to the game with, you know, my best friend Jonathan and our other good friend Justin, both Longhorn alums. We're coming from everywhere. So Jonathan's coming up from Houston. I'm coming up from Austin. And then Justin's coming up from San Antonio. So should be a good game. Should be one that, you know, we really are able to enjoy and have a good time. It's going to be in Jerry World, so that'll be a different experience. I think last time that I was there, Texas was playing. Last time I was there watching Texas play, they were playing Nebraska in the Big 12 championship game, and we, you know, benefited from some late game heroics, or, you know, late game. There was some late game controversy in that game, but I was there and we pulled it out. So I'm going to say that, you know, my personal experience in Big 12 championship games has been good. When I was playing and we played against Colorado in the Big 12 championship game, of course, we won 70-3. So, you know, they didn't put up much of a fight, but I'm 2-0 in games that I'm present for in Big 12 championship games. So it'd be great to run that number up to 3-0. Really looking forward to getting up there. And I would really like to be able to brag, you know, all year to my Sooner friends about just how sorry they are about, you know, them having two losses to the same team and that team being us. I think that would be magical. But then even, I guess, more importantly than just me having bragging rights would be what it would do for this team's confidence going into the bowl season, going, you know, on the recruiting trail. I think it would really just kind of put a stamp on the season that could have easily gone, you know, awry. I'm thinking back to the first couple of podcasts I did with Ketchum and how I was coming off of the Maryland game and that game being, you know, a game that certainly didn't go our way and one that, you know, kind of scared everybody for what the rest of the season would hold. The Tulsa game didn't quite go how we expected in the way of, you know, any kind of dominating performance on our end. And so it'll be, you know, interesting to see how, you know, the team comes out, how they play. And I fully expect them to be prepared. That's the one thing that I can give Tom Herman. I've always been, you know, critical of, you know, some of the games that I would feel like, you know, he shouldn't lose in his career. But to, you know, his credit, in the big games, his teams have always shown up. They've never laid down. And, you know, Texas is a pretty healthy underdog. I think they're 7.5, 8-point underdog when I last saw it. And so, you know, I think that'll be easy to, you know, help rally the troops and get their, you know, mind focused on the game. And so it'll be a good one. Should be, you know, probably the most interesting of all the matches for championship weekend. And so all eyes will be on us. I hate that it's an early game. It's 11 a.m. kickoff, but that's not something that, you know, either team is foreign to in this series. And so it should be a good one. Really looking forward to seeing how the guys show up, seeing what the plan of attack is and how much they execute. And I think it's really just going to come down to who runs the ball better and who protects the ball. And I think Texas has a good chance of doing both of those things and then just limiting big plays and mistakes. So the costly fresh out of timeouts or, you know, first play of the game, delay of the games and false starts, things of that nature. You know, the team really has to be dialed in and prevent some of that. And then hopefully Sam is fully recovered and able to just kind of really let loose and play his game. They had a lot of trouble stopping him in the run game. And so would like to see him build upon that and be able to do that, but still be protected with his shoulder. So, you know, looking forward to the game, should be a real good one. And looking forward to, you know, seeing what the outcome is and then coming back and discussing it with you guys. So thanks again for listening. Appreciate, you know, everybody that has given a listen, everybody that's given me any feedback on it. Still always, you know, certainly searching for that feedback and, you know, welcoming it definitely. So if you have any things you would like me to talk about, any topics, any questions, you know, feel free to drop me a line. I'm at Marcus Myers on all my social media. So pretty easy to reach if you need to. And once again, thanking the guys at the Yak for this platform. You know, do a really great job with turning the file I send to them back around for production wise. So, you know, certainly got to thank Ross for doing that. It's a job that I know I couldn't do. And so to have a team behind me and the rest of the people that are on the Yak and putting out content, it means a lot. And so, you know, certainly want to continue to grow the relationship and grow our listenership and hope that you're finding different things to listen to on the Yak, enjoying it. And we have some more things kind of coming down the pipe that I think everyone will look forward to. So with that, I will leave everyone. If you're going to the game, be safe, you know, both going and coming. Don't let a Sooner, you know, talk you into doing anything stupid because, you know, they'll be full of alcohol and ornery as can be. But, you know, have a good weekend. Enjoy the game. And hopefully we're talking about a victory and some Big 12 championship Longhorns. Big 12 champion Longhorns the next time we chat. So with that, again, I'm Marcus Myers. This has been Until the Whistle podcast. And I'll catch you the next time the whistle blows. Welcome.